ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. द टेक्स्ट् बुक् इट् सेल्फ् इस् काल्ड् पञ्चदशी बिकास् द बुक् आफ् 15 चाप्टर्स् is called panchadashi. So panchadasha adhyayaha asmin bhavanti iti panchadashi iti nama, and this is one of the most important texts of Vedanta prakaranas, authored by a great swami called Vidyaranya Swami, who came in the order of Sringeri Shankaramat. Vidyaranya Swami was a great administrator and he was a multidimensional personality. He had a profound knowledge of all the different other texts, subject matters also, not only in Vedanta. And he was also a great Vedantic exponent. His knowledge of languages and then his profound vision of the Vedanta Shastram and even other Shastras. And not only that, he was also a great, he was known for his the administration work in Vijayanagara Empire. So he was a very well-known and highly revered Swami, and also he was highly revered as administrator, because he really was in very high position in many fields, and he became a Swami, and then now he has done many books. This particular book is known for the expression of his clarity, the depth of his vision, the way he develops a teaching, subject matter, everything is so beautiful in this text. So Vidyaranya Swami, will know more about him later on, and let us start with the text. Like any other text, this Panchadashi also begins with the Mangalacharanam. And before we begin the Mangalacharanam, I wanted to know one thing. As I said, this textbook consists of 15 chapters. And it is 15 chapters are divided into 3 parts. So first 5 chapters come under one heading called Tattva Viveka Prakaranam. So each chapter is known as Prakaranam here. So the first part, consisting of first 5 chapters, is called Viveka Prakaranam, because each title ends with the word Viveka. Therefore, first five chapters come under the title of Viveka Prakaranam. The next two five chapters come under the title of Deepa Prakaranam. And the last five chapters come under the title of Yogananda Prakaranam or Ananda Prakaranam. Ananda Prakaranam. So, Viveka Prakaranam, Deepa Prakaranam and Ananda Prakaranam. So, Viveka Prakaranam consists of five chapters. Deepa Prakaranam consists of five chapters. Ananda Prakaranam consists of five chapters. So, totally 15 chapters. Now, we will see why the each part, you know, is known after the particular word, Viveka Prakaranam, etc. We will understand as we study. Okay, now let us read the first verse now. So, we will start with the Viveka Prakaranam. And wherein we are going to start the Tattva Viveka Prakaranam. The first chapter is called Tattva Viveka Prakaranam. And the Tattva Viveka Prakaranam happens to be the first chapter of the Panchadashi. The very beginning there is Mangalacharanam. Om Shri Ganeshaya Namaha. Okay. Namashri Shankarananda.
Namashri Shankarananda.
Guru Padambu Janmane. Savilasa Mahamoha. Graha Grasaika Karmane. Namashri Shankarananda Guru Padambu Janmane.
Namashri Shankarananda Guru Padambu Janmane.
Savilasa Mahamoha Graha Grasaika Karmane. So this is the verse wherein Vidyaranya Swami invokes the grace of Bhagavan through invoking the grace of his Guru for the successful completion of this work. So what he says, Namaha, salutations unto whom he says, Shri Shankarananda Guru Padambu Janmane. The Shankaranandaha must have been the name of his teacher. So, Shri Shankaranandaya Namaha. Salutations unto Shri Shankarananda. It is the Shankarananda. Yes, Pada Ambu Janmane. So, Ambu Janma means lotus. Ambu means water. Janma means that which is the birth. Actually, the Janma means birth. Ambu means lotus. Ambu Janma means what now? That which is born in the water. For Ambu Janma means lotus. And then Padaha means foot. And Guru Pada Ambu Janmane. So Ambu Janman means Pada Ambu Janma. Pada Ambu Janma, the lotus feet are lotus feet. So, Padambu Janmane is the dative case. Therefore, salutations to the lotus feet. Padambu Janmane Namaha. So, Padaha, foot, Ambu, water, Janma, birth. But now, how should we take? Ambu Janma means that which is born and that which grows in the water. For Ambu Janma does not mean water, does not mean the birth, but Ambu Janma means the lotus which grows in the water. And here, not even the lotus. What is the lotus here? Padahayeva Ambu Janma. So, Pada Ambu Janma. So, even the Padaha, so Padau Ambu Janma, isn't it? So, the feet, the lotus feet. Lotus feet of whom? Guru. Guru Padambu Janma means lotus feet of the Guru. So Guru Padambu Janma, and then Guru Padambu Janma, like if you go decline, no, fourth case is what? Guru Padambu Janmane, the dative case. So Namaha Guru Padambu Janmane, salutations unto the lotus feet of the Guru. Sri Shankarananda, this is the meaning, one meaning. You can also say what now? The Guru who is of the nature of happiness and who is of the nature of auspiciousness. That also can say. So Sri Shankaraha means the one who is the maker of auspiciousness, the one who blesses us with auspiciousness. And Anandaha means fullness. Therefore, salutations unto the lotus feet of the Guru who is of the nature of auspiciousness and happiness. Fullness. Or I can say salutations unto the lotus feet of the Guru Sri Shankarananda. And now he next sentence he says, this Guru's feet are involved in two functions. What do the Guru's feet do? That he said in the next sentence. Which means the next sentence is the description of the Guru's feet. Adjective for the Guru's feet, isn't it? Savilasa maha moha graha grasa ek karmane. One long compound which is a description of the Guru's lotus feet, adjective of the previous sentence. And then it describes. So, salutations unto the lotus feet of the Guru Sri Shankarananda, which sort of feet are they? He says, graha, grasa eka karma. Grasaha means devouring, eating, gulping. Grasaha, grasati is a verb. Grasaha means devouring, eating, gulping is called grasaha. So, grasaha ekaha karma. That which has the only act of devouring. The lotus feet of the Guru are involved in the only act of devouring. It devours devours the grahaha. Grahaha means a crocodile. And here, not the ordinary crocodile, the Guru's crocodile always, crocodile only gulps everyone. But here, Guru's feet gulps the very crocodile. The all-devouring crocodile is devoured by the Guru's feet. Therefore, and what is this grahaha, not the ordinary grahaha? It is the graha, the delusion, the crocodile of delusion, mohaha. That is not ordinary mohaha here. It is not ordinary lack of discriminative knowledge, maha mohaha. Why? Because this delusion, always it is the cause for endless samsara, beginningless, endless samsara. Is caused by this delusion, therefore it's a mahamohaha. And this mahamoha is because of what? Ignorance, isn't it? Therefore, the ignorance caused great delusion of crocodile is devoured by this Guru's feet. Therefore, the Guru's feet which are involved in the only act of devouring, the ignorance caused the delusion crocodile. What now? Savilasa. Now, savilasa means, along with the moha, what? Not only it devours the delusion, it devours also the delusion caused effects, ill effects. Ignorance caused delusion. The delusion caused samsara. So Savilasa means along with the consequences, ill effects. So Vilasaha means that which shines in the presence of delusion. So that which shines along with the delusion, you know, as consequences of delusion, are said to be Savilasa. The word Savilasa implies, literally the word Vilasaha means shines. Okay, Vilasati means shines. So Vilasaha means that which shines. So what shines here? The consequences, ill effects of delusion shine. When? Along with the delusion. Isn't it? So when there is delusion, the consequences, ill effects of delusion also will be there. When the delusion goes, along with the delusion, ill effects also will go. So here, what happens? So Savilasa Mahamoha Graha Graseka Karmane means, so Savilasa means, Savilasa there means the that which shines along with what? The Mahamoha. So the delusion is shining. When delusion is, the ill effects or consequence of delusion also shine. The delusion goes, they also go. Therefore he says, this lotus feet of the guru devour the crocodile, crocodile of delusion caused by ignorance along with the consequences of delusion. Not only guru's feet remove the delusion, the delusion caused consequences of samsara also it removes. And here, this is the literal meaning. So salutations unto the lotus feet of the Guru, Shishankarananda, which are involved in the only act of devouring the delusion of crocodile along with the its consequences. It is the meaning. Tamil en solnunnaangya, அவிவேகத்தோடு சேர்ந்து விளங்குகின்ற அப்படின்னு அர்த்தம். திஸ் இஸ் த மீனிங். ஸோ ஹியர் சர்டன் திங்ஸ் யூ ஹவ் டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட். வை ஃபீட் ஆர் இம்பார்ட்டன்ட்? வை டு வி கிவ் இம்பார்ட்டன்ஸ் ஃபார் த ஃபீட்? த வேர்டு ஃபீட் ஹாஸ் கம் ஃப்ரம், சப்போஸ் த வேர்டு பாதஹா, ஃபுட், யூனோ, அண்ட் பதம் அ வேர்டு. And padayati, so here if you take this root pad, there's a root called pad. You from that you derive this word padyate and padayati. Padyate means that which moves, that which reaches, that by which you reach a given place is called padaha. Padyate anena iti padaha. Then padyate anena iti padam. The word also, that by which you arrive at something. So, padayati iti padaha, that which helps you reach another place. That which helps you arrive at something is also called padaha. So, guru padaha, because here the guru's feet help you arrive at the truth, which stands for knowledge. The knowledge helps you arrive at your sarupam. Therefore, the word padaha is very significant here. And one more thing, why crocodile is said to be for the delusion is meant by the word grahaha, the crocodile, because the crocodile is known for its grip. Once you get caught up by the crocodile, it is impossible for you to get relieved from its grip. And not only that, as long as you are in the grip of a crocodile, you have to go through severe pain and suffering also. Though here also, when we are caught up in the grip of delusion, it is very difficult to get rid of the grip of the delusion. Not that easy. Because completely, that's why we can, deluded means what? Totally deluded, you can, you are completely helpless. You don't know how to get rid of the grip of delusion. And when you are in the grip of delusion, and the amount of suffering we go through, the emotional, physical and all that, some, you know, the suffering and pain we go through all is what? Phenomenal. That is why, for these two reasons, crocodile is taken to be an example for the delusion. These are the simple, important things you need to know.
Shama, are you able to see the video?
Yes, very well. Okay, last class I left it now very... Okay, let us read from the 8th verse.
Iyam atma paranandah.
Iyam atma paranandah.
Paraprema-spadam yatah.
Paraprema-spadam yatah.
Manabhuvam hi bhuyasam. Iti premātmani kṣyate.
Iti premātmani kṣyate.
Here in these verses, Vidyaranya Swami is teaching us how to arrive at the nature of the Atma, the truth of the Self being Satchidanandaha. The truth of the Self being, or the Self being consciousness, existence, which is of the nature of happiness. Unarvai ulla parambarule iruppu, and the iruppa. Iruppayulla unarve niraivu. This is the meaning. So, the truth of the Self is consciousness, and which is the existence of everything here, and which is of the nature of fullness. And arriving at this truth of the Self being Satchidananda Swarupam, Satchidanandaha, is said to be what? Arriving at the truth of the Tvampada Lakshyartaha. And for which we used this Avasthatre Vicharaha. The enquiry into the nature of the Self is done through the analysis of three states of experience. And he starts his analysis with the waking state, and where we understand that in the waking state we have nothing but the experienced universe, which is inclusive of our body, mind, sense complex, and the experiencer, the subject of knowledge. When you reduce everything into two, as subject and object, there's nothing other than subject and object here. What is here are only two things. One is the subject of knowledge, and the rest is the object comes, rest comes under the category of the objective world. And then we say there is experience of the external world of objects. And that externally there is a plurality of objects, and the external plurality of the objects is determined by the internal plurality of the cognitions. Because without the internal cognition, there cannot be a corresponding external object. Any external experience of any external object is determined by the corresponding internal cognition. Very important lesson. But what do we think? Internal cognition is dependent on the existence of the external object. Really speaking, the internal cognition alone presupposes the existence of the external object. Therefore, the multiplicity, the plurality of the external objects is determined by the internal plurality of the internal cognitions, which means the cognitions are also plural, multiple, innumerable, countless, and many. And here the question comes, what is this cognition? Because there are only two types of cognition, isn't it? There is aham cognition, there is idam cognition. There is this cognition and there is I cognition. Even then, without the I cognition, I am cognition, there cannot be idam cognition. Therefore, we have to say the aham cognition can be understood as the dead end of the mind. There is no dead end of the mind. We understand beyond, because no other cognition, any other cognition other than what? Aham cognition, some cognition only. Therefore, any cognition, every cognition is possible only if there is aham cognition, I am cognition. Therefore, I am cognition is the dead end of the mind. And here we say, what this cognition is, if you analyze, even though cognition seems to be one unitary aspect, really speaking, cognition involves two aspects. The consciousness and the thought. So cognition is equal to, or perception is equal to consciousness plus thought. So consciousness by itself cannot become the thought. Sorry, cognition. Consciousness cannot itself become a cognition by itself without the thought. A thought without the consciousness also cannot become the cognition. Therefore, both together constitute the cognition. And here, of all these cognitions, we say, the cognitions are many. Therefore, the plurality of cognitions is due to the plurality of the thoughts. But consciousness is singular, one. But what happens? Thoughts arrive and depart, whereas consciousness does not come and go. So what do you understand? Consciousness is one, thoughts are many. Consciousness is changeless, thoughts keep changing, and consciousness is continuously there, whereas thoughts arrive and depart. Therefore, thoughts have time limitation, thoughts keep changing, thought undergo changes, whereas then thoughts are many. This consciousness is one, nityam, because continuous, and this uniform and changeless. This one timeless, one continuous, changeless, uniform consciousness is also all pervasive, because every thought, in Sanskrit language, a thought is called antahkarana vrittihi. So every antahkarana vritti is completely pervaded by consciousness, but all pervasive. So ekam, shashvatam, no, we see the avyayam, changeless, one, changeless, all pervasive and continuous, and this consciousness not only continuous, also what, independent of the thoughts. Whether the thoughts are there or not, consciousness continues to exist. Whereas thoughts come and go, but every time thoughts come also, because of the manifestation of consciousness in the thoughts alone, now thoughts enjoy the very status of being existent. Therefore, thoughts are dependent on consciousness for their existence. and consciousness is independent of thoughts for its existence. They were Swatantram. So, therefore, this is not only in waking state, the same thing continues to happen in the dream state also. In dream is what? Dream is completely, the waking state changes and the dream state comes. So, each state of mind is a state of experience. Your dream also changes. And that what is happening, what in the dream also, there's a external plurality of dream objects. This internal plurality of dream cognitions. Again, there also cognition is nothing but consciousness and thought. And there also plurality belongs to the thoughts. Consciousness is one, changeless, independent, all-pervasive, continuous reality. And not only this, this dream state of mind, which is a state of experience, which also completely undergoes a change. And we have something called Sushupti Avastha, deep sleep state, wherein there is also experience. Experience means there is a cognition. And experience is possible only if there is a vritti. And in, even in deep sleep state, there are two vrittis. One is ajnana, no? Atisukshma vrittis we have. Susukshma vrittihi, atisukshma vrittihi. Much subtler thoughts we have. What are the ananda vrittihi and ajnana vrittihi? Therefore, there is experience. What experience? What ajnana vrittihi? You know, I did not know anything. I slept well. You know, sukha vrittihi and ananda vrittihi. With these two vrittis are there. Therefore, this experience is there. That experience is there. But that experience, what is not there in deep sleep state is, I am vrittihi is not there. Okay, the vritti is not there. The world is, that vritti is also not there. Therefore, what happened is, no, cognition, the world is, I am. But the cognition that I am is not there. The cognition that the world is not there. Is it? So these vrittis are not. Therefore, there is no cognition I am. The world is. For this experience of the absence of the cognition. There is experience of the absence of the cognition the world is. Isn't it? Therefore, we say, and there also, when there is experience means there is a consciousness. Without the consciousness, without the vritti, there can't be experience. Both must be there for any experience to be there. Pure consciousness, mere consciousness cannot contribute for experience. Without the vritti. With vritti, without consciousness also cannot become experience. Therefore, because deep sleep state is an experience, we can understand there is a vritti and there is consciousness, there is experience. But what vritti is? Ajnana vritti, ananda vritti. So what we need to understand is that this consciousness, you know, continuously present in all the discontinuous states of mind and continuously present in all the, invariably present in all the variable thoughts, independently, uniformly, unchangingly, changelessly, all pervadingly, pervasively, as only consciousness. Okay? So when you understand, therefore consciousness, now this itself is enough for us to understand the nature of the consciousness. There is consciousness. And a consciousness is one, uniform, changeless, all pervasive, independent and continuous. So Vidyarani Swami, further he takes us to, and these three states of experience constitute the day of an individual. For day after day, day to day to day, every day, in fact, these three states of experience continue to be there. So consciousness continues to be present. Also what? Month after month, we are going to sit, no? Yugam after yugam, life after life, srishti after srishti, continues to be there. Therefore, consciousness is not only changeless, you know, all pervasive, it is timeless also. This much we understand first. What is consciousness now? This is consciousness. Now we say, what about this I cognition? I am is cognition, which is the dead end of the mind, without which no thought is possible, other cognition is possible. Therefore, I am, if we take, or I, even if we just take the I cognition or I am cognition, and of these two, what are the two aspects involved there? Consciousness plus vritti. The vritti comes in the waking state, there is aham vritti. Therefore, there is cognition, I am cognition or I cognition. In dream, we have dream vritti, therefore there is in dream I cognition. In deep sleep state, aham vritti is not there, therefore there is no cognition, I am cognition. So, vritti comes and goes. What does not come and go, what is permanently there is consciousness. Therefore, here, Gaudapada Acharya, Vidyaranya Swami, he brings in what? Because of that Mandukya thought comes from me. Vidyaranya Swami, here he makes us think, if this consciousness is permanently there, timelessly there, eternally there, not eternally there, it is changelessly, timelessly there, therefore, this consciousness is the Sat, the existence. What is existence? The intrinsic nature, the innermost reality, the truth of anything is called Sat. Is the existence. The reality is the existence. Reality and existence are not two different things. Like what? Just as water, the H2O, the reality of the ocean is the existence of the ocean. Not different from the ocean, isn't it? So here also, the existence, the reality of the I, the existence of existence must be what? This consciousness only. Why do we say here? Because that which is intrinsic does not come and go. That which comes and goes cannot be taken to be the intrinsic. Like the heat in the hot water, no, which arrives and departs, well, the heat in the fire happens to be intrinsic, it may be taken as the nature, intrinsic nature. Therefore, here we can say, this consciousness which does not come and go is the intrinsic nature of I. What is I? It's the cognition. What is cognition? Consciousness plus thought. So of the two, what should we take it as the intrinsic nature? Consciousness. Therefore, I, the content of the I, the substance of the substantive I is nothing but consciousness. For consciousness is the, and this consciousness happens to be, what now? Trikala abadhitam is non-negatable. This consciousness is the existence. Therefore, I the self am consciousness existence. The innermost, indestructible, all-pervasive, essential nature. Okay? Then, now one more thing is that last step is what? This consciousness existence is of the nature of happiness. This consciousness existence is Atma, the consciousness existence, is the fullness itself, happiness itself. And this Atma Swarupam being happiness is here established logically. This is where we came last class. Okay? Quickly a brief for them, because they were not here in the class last class. So that is explained where? In the eighth verse. Iyamatma paranandaha. Iyamatma paranandaha.
परप्रेमास्पदम् यतः मानभूवम् हि भूयासम् इति प्रेमात्मनीक्ष्यते
okay he says and here Vidyaranya Swami uses the term samvit for consciousness you have heard so many other terms for consciousness chit chitihi chaitanyam so many words you have heard but now you are learning a word new word from Vidyaranya Swami samvit he says iyam samvit why iyam iyam is a third person singular pronoun feminine gender pronoun not I am means masculine isn't it iyam is what singular gender singular third person singular pronoun feminine gender pronoun remember I taught it long ago iyam mala iyam bala etc so here this iyam is adjective for the pronoun indicates consciousness the samvit which is a feminine gender word Now he says, Iyam Samvit Atma, Iyam Samvit Atma, this consciousness which is the existence is the Atma, the self. Self means what? The intrinsic nature of the I. This consciousness, Iyam Atma, Iyam Samvit Atma. You have to make it that way. Iyam Samvideva Atma. This consciousness alone is the self, the intrinsic, innermost, essential nature of I. The truth of I. Now, he says, Iyam Samvit the Atma Paranandaha. So this consciousness, which is the Sat, the Samvit Chit, which is the Sat, which is the intrinsic, innermost, essential nature of the I, okay, the Atma here is of the nature of absolute happiness, Paranandaha. And for which he says, How do this Parananda Atma is of the nature of happiness has to be arrived at not logically here, you through reasoning. We have had through towards Yuktihi and Shrutihi. If the, with the help of the Shruti you arrive at and sometimes use your Yukti also. So of these three, always Tvampada Lakshyartaha the essential nature of the individual can be arrived at now with support of the Shruti using your reasoning but tatpada lakshyartaha you know the analysis of the total we have to arrive at only through Shruti we can't use your reasoning and also oneness of the truth of individual and the total also can be arrived at only with the help of the Shruti I mean, reasoning cannot be used there. In arriving at the truth of the whole, in arriving at the oneness of the truth of the individual and the whole also, we cannot use the reasoning. We are using only the Shruti, only with the help of the Shruti. But for which, you have to arrive at the truth of the individual first, using your reasoning, with the support of the Shruti. And here, Satchit, Chit we arrived at, Sat also we arrived at, you know, but now Parananda, Atma is the source of happiness. Atma is happiness. Yataha, because, how do we say Atma is of the nature of happiness? He says, Paraprema-spadam, Paraprema-spadam. The word aspadam means a source, an object. Para prema means love. Para prema, para means what now? Absolute. Atma is the absolute object of love, ultimate object of love. Atma is the object of love, which means one's own self is the source of love. How do we, because Atma is the one which is loved the most. Everyone loves one's own self the most. And mostly, not only mostly loved, unconditionally loved is the self. The love for everything else in the world is also ultimately for the love for the self only. There is no such thing called love for anything in the world. Therefore, and even if we love anything in the world, that love is what? Love is possible as long as the love for some, that given object of love or a person or a situation or thing serves one's personal interests. When those objects, so-called external objects of love, fail to fulfill the conditions, fail to fulfill my expectations, then immediately the love for the object also will disappear. That is why love for anything in the world is conditional love. Love for oneself is unconditional love. And in fact, love, there's no real love at all for anything in the world. The love for anything in the world is ultimately love for one's own self. In fact, Vidyanand Swami's words, if we analyze, if even if we say we live our lives for our children, we love our children so much, I love my wife so much, I love my husband so much, I love my friends so much, I love my pets so much. I tell you, we always say we love so much, why love so much? To be frank, it's the greatest bluff unknowingly we've been talking all the time. This is what Shastram tells us. There is no such thing called real love for anybody. So scratching each other's back. Na unnakira ni ennakiri vude. So scratching each other's back. Therefore, what he says, doesn't matter. Okay. That's why if we live a life of dharma, we do not harm others. Okay. We let others live. So others let us live. So that we are mutually, you know, harmonious. We contribute for each other's, we contribute for each other's happiness and peace. Okay. So here, yataha, because, para premaspadam. How do we say Atma is of the nature of anandaha? Because happiness, because Atma is the object of the love. Atma is the ultimate object of love, which means Atma is unconditionally loved. Therefore, Atma must be the source of happiness. How do we say that Atma is unconditionally loved? Generally, first before we have to understand, there's always a liking for living. I want to live. I want to be alive. I want to be alive. I want to be alive. I want to live. Really speaking, nobody really wants to die. There's always continuous love for the existence of oneself. Do you know that? There's genuinely 100% nobody wants to die. There's never, see, death is never desirable for us. See, the person who commits a suicide or the person, you know, whoever wants to kill themselves, they all do it because they want to get rid of the pain. The death is, they want to die not just to be relieved of the pain and suffering. The suffering is not there, pain is not there. Do you think anybody will like to commit a suicide or anybody will want to die? No. People, when they want to get rid of the suffering, they mistake that death will relieve them. Because of the wrong conclusion that death will relieve them from the suffering, they decide to die. Even then, what they seek is actually happiness only. not knowing that Atma is a source of happiness, and they think the suffering is caused by certain things, and getting relieved of the suffering is actually happiness. Therefore, death will help them help them to be relieved of the suffering. So they decide to die. Really speaking, there is always, continuously there is a love for continuous existence of the self. That love for the continuous existence of the self, never is there love for the non-existence of the self. What does it mean? One loves oneself unconditionally. If you do not love yourself so much, you will not love to be there forever. The desire for the continuous existence is, existence of the self is, desire for life itself is for what? Because of the love for oneself. And because you love yourself unconditionally, you must be the source of happiness. So how he presents, anything we like in this world is object of a pleasure. An object which causes the pain, a source of pain, is never liked. Therefore here, let us use this anumanam. How to arrive at this anumanam means, the anumanam always inference involved four factors, inferential knowledge. First, let us understand the example we go to this class. See, wherever I find the fire, wherever I find a smoke, I infer the existence of the fire there. Yatra yatra dhumaha tatra tatra vannihi. Without even seeing the fire, I conclude that there is fire just by seeing the smoke. Why? Because smoke and fire are always coexistent. Where there is smoke, there must be fire. Without a fire, there can't be smoke. This is called now, yatra yatra dhumaha tatra tatra vannihi. This knowledge is called what? Vyapti jnanam. Vyapti jnanam means knowledge of coexistence of things. So yatra nina tatra keet. Understand? This is called vyapti jnanam. Now from this vyapti jnanam, now you see a mountain. This mountain, you have to say something about the mountain. The mountain which is under the discussion, which is to be described now. This mountain which is to be described or discussed is called what? Pakshaha. Pakshaha means the object which is taken for discussion is called pakshaha. So, parvataha, parvataha na pakshaha. You know what is vyapti jnanam? Now you come to the next sentence is what? Pakshaha. Pakshaha means what? The object under discussion, taken for discussion. Pakshaha. Now, so what is the conclusion you arrive at now? What is your inference? Parvataha. Parvataha vanniman. Vannihi means fire. Parvataha yatra yatra dumha tatra vannihi, we already seen. But now you say parvataha vanniman means a mountain has fire. There is fire on the mountain. This is the, is called sadhyam. Sadhyam means the conclusion. Conclusion you arrive at through inference. Inferential knowledge, isn't it? It's called what now? Parvataha Vanniman. Final conclusion. This is sadhyam. So, vyapti jnanam, pakshaha, sadhyam. And for which you have to give a hetu. The reasoning. Hetu, the reasoning A, involved in that. You don't mechanically make the conclusion. There's a reasoning involved in your conclusion. Hetu is what? Parvataha dhumavan. Mountain has smoke. Mountain is smoky. Therefore, there is fire on the mountain. That's the conclusion. So, dhumavan is what? Parvataha dhumavan is not the, is the hetuhu. So, you need some example. You must have seen this before. Isn't it? Yajnashalavat. It's wherever you saw, no? Yatha yajnashalayam. This I gave it in your Mandukya class also. But here I wanted to use this, make it very clear before I go to this class. Ar pakshalayam. Yatha barbecue samaye. Anyway, so here, so that is yatha yajnashalayam. This drishtanta, that is example. Sit here. Similarly, here also there is a vyapti jnanam. Parvataha vanniman. There is a sadhyam. Like that, here also sadhyam is what? Atma parama paranandaha. Atma paranandaha is what? Sadhyam. Now what is the hetu here? Parama aspadatvam is the hetu. Parama aspadatvam is the hetu. Paramaspadatvam is what now? Due to its source of being the object of love. Due to its being the object of love. Atma being the unconditionally, Atma being unconditionally loved, Atma being the most loved, Atma must be the source of happiness, isn't it? So, parapremaspadatvat is the hetu. Atma paranandaha, hetu atma parapremaspadam. What is the vyapti jnanam? Yatra yatra, yatra yatra, premaspadatvam, tatra tatra ananda hetutvam. Yatra yatra premaspadatvam, tatra tatra ananda hetutvam. Wherever there is love, whichever object is an object of love, that object must be the source of pleasure or happiness. Wherever there is love, there must be what? The status of being the source of love. Happiness, pleasure. Yatra yatra parapremaspadatvam, tatra tatra ananda hetutvam is the vyapti jnanam. Desirability or lovability goes along with the pleasure, the joy, derived from the object, isn't it? How much you like the person, the more I am pleased with the person, the more I enjoy the love, no, the more I enjoy the pleasure there, the more I love it. Simple. How much do you love? My love is in keeping in proportion with how much I am pleased. The less I am pleased, the less I love. The least I am pleased, the least I am loved. I'm loved. I love. I'm displaced. I hate. Therefore, yatra yatra premaspadatvam, tatra tatra ananda hetutvam. And here we say, atma ananda. Okay, atma is what? No, atma ananda swarupaha, anandaha, ananda swarupaha, or paranandaha, yataha, the hetu, because the hetu who is paraprema-spadam. Atma is the source. No, atma is the most loved. Atma is unconditionally loved. Atma is the only object of love. The subject, the swarupam of the knower is the object of love. There is no other object of love other than the very subject, the truth of the subject. Okay? That we say because, how do we say Atma is the next say? So Atma is the source of happiness. Atma must be the source of happiness because Atma is unconditionally loved. How do you say Atma unconditionally loved? Because there is always desire for continuous existence of the self. That is the next sentence. Mana bhuvam hi bhuyasam. There's a love. It was mana bhuvam. Mana bhuvam na bhuyasam. See, let there not be absence of my existence. Let there be always existence of my existence. Bhuyasam, let me be there always. Let there not be, what now? My non-existence. Iti prema atmani ikshyate. This love for the self is always seen on the part of, is in the scene in the self. Okay, seen on the part of the self. How? Let me be there always. Let me continue to be there forever. So let there be my existence always. Let there not be my non-existence. We always see this love on the part of the self. Mean what? We always see with reference to self. This love for the self is always, there's always this love for the self. How? Let me be there always. Let me not become absent at all. Let there be my continuous existence. Let there not be my non-existence. This love with reference to Atma is always there. Therefore, Atma is unconditionally loved. Therefore, Atma must be the source of happiness. Is it true or not? You have to think very well. For now, what should you say? I, the self, am Chit Satchidanandaha. I, the self, am consciousness, the existence, the greatest source of happiness, the only source of happiness. I, the self, am consciousness, the existence, happiness, which is of the nature of happiness or fullness. It's beautiful, isn't it? Now he reinforces the same thing in the next verse. Tat prema,
tat prematmartaman yatra naiva manyartham atmani atastat paramam tena paramanandatatmanah tat prema atmartham anyatra tat prema atmartham anyatra na evam anyartham atmani. So what he says, atmani yat prema, whatever there is love in oneself, you know, that love that one has in oneself, the love that one has in oneself, or the love that one has diverted. Yeah. So where do we leave for you? So
Paksha.
Okay. Paksha, if we finished that other one, isn't it? Mountain finished. Okay, so yatra yatra dhumaha tatra tatra vannihi. That is vyapti jnanam. Wherever there is smoke, there is fire. That's called knowledge of the coexistence of two things. It's called vyapti jnanam. Yatra yatra Vishnuhu tatra tatra anuj. You know, that is vyapti jnanam. Because even if you don't see anuj, you can infer what? There must be Vishnu. There must be anuj. Like this. So it is vyapti jnanam. But this vyapti jnanam, what now? Therefore, when you see some purpose, when you see the mountain, that is wherever there is smoke, there is fire. And with this vyapti jnanam, when you see the mountain with the smoke, you say what now? Parvataha vanniman. You arrive at the conclusion. It's called sadhyam. Sadhyam is parvataha vanniman is the sadhyam. The conclusion arrived through inference. Or inferential knowledge. And what is the hetu there? Sadhyam is parvataha vanniman. Mount, there's fire on the mountain. The hetu is parvataha dhumavan. The reason is dhumavatvat, puhai irupadal, malayil malai nirupu irikkirathu. The dhumavatvat is the hetuhu. The hetu, hetvarte panchami bhakti varnu, hetvarte panchami. Parvataha, no, dhumavatvat is the hetuhu. Parvataha vanniman is the sadhyam. Pakshaha parvataha. Vyapti jnanam enna? Yatra yatra dhumaha tatra tatra vannihi is the vyapti jnanam. Udaharanam enna? What is this? What is the example there? Yatha yajna shalayam. Or paka shalayam. As in the kitchen. Just as we always see in the kitchen or the yagyashala, we see fire always with the smoke. That is, we have a vyapti jnanam. And because vyapti jnanam, now there is a hetuhu, there is a dhuma on the parvataha dhumavan, dhumavatvate, there is a, what is the sadhyam, final conclusion, parvataha vanniman. This is how you have to see these factors. Now, we have to apply this. Atma paranandaha is the sadhyam. Atma paranandaha. Atma is the greatest source of happiness, the only source of happiness. Atma is of the nature of happiness. Naan niraivu. Paramparulahiya naane niraivu. Naan paramparul, paramparul niraivu and naan niraivu. So what is it? I am ID consciousness, I am existence, ID consciousness, existence, and happiness. Therefore, Atma Ananda Surupaha. When you say Atma means, don't take Atma third person, okay? Atma, there is no soul. Therefore, Ananda Svaparanandaha. This is the sadhyam, final conclusion. You have to give the hetu. What is the hetu? Premaspadatvat. Premaspadatvat is the hetuhu. Premaspadam means what now? The soul, Atma is the object of love. Atma is the only loved, Atma is the most loved, and Atma is the unconditionally loved. Because love for Atma is unconditional love, we say because the love for anything in the world involves some conditions. So whenever the object of love fails to fulfill those conditions, the love also disappears. Therefore, love for anything in the world is conditional love, which means as long as the objects of love in the world fulfill my certain, some of my personal interests, then I love the objects. When they fail to fulfill the conditions, I start hating the objects. Therefore, the love for anything in the world is conditional love, but love for myself is what? Unconditional love. Therefore, Atma is the most loved, Atma unconditionally loved. And here, because Atma is the unconditionally loved, that is the hetu here. Therefore, what? Atma must be the source of happiness. Because what is the vyapti jnanam? Vyapti jnanam enna? For you to say, Atma is the most loved, Atma unconditionally loved, prema aspadatvat is the hetu. For you arrive at the conclusion, sadhyam enna atma ananda surupaha, you arrive at that hetu, the sadhyam, you have to have vyapti jnanam. Innade, yatra yatra para premaspadatvam tatra tatra ananda hetutvam. Wherever there is love, there must be pleasure or joy or happiness. So any object enjoying the status of being an object of love must be enjoying the status of being a source of pleasure or happiness. This is the vyapti jnanam. Yatra yatra prema aspadatvam tatra tatra ananda hetutvam. Ippadiyum ollam. Yatra yatra ananda hetutvam tatra tatra para prema aspadatvam. This is the vyapti jnanam. Lokathila paakkuradhunala, we always see this. Because can we ever love anything which causes always, which makes you unhappy? We run away from things. Therefore, we always like, desire, love things which makes us unhappy. Therefore, which makes us happy. Sorry, which makes us happy, isn't it? We can never like something which makes us unhappy. This is the vyapti jnanam. So, based on vyapti jnanam, we say what? Atma ananda swarupaha. Now, next question comes. How do you say Atma is unconditionally loved? The next sentence Vidyarana Swami says, see the next sentence now. Mana bhuvam hi bhuyasam. Iti premātmanīkṣyate.
Iti premātmanīkṣyate.
Māna bhūvam. May I not be non-existent. May not be non-existent means what? May there not be my non-existence. Bhuyasam, may I be always there. May there be my continuous existence. Iti prema, this love for continuous existence of the self is always there. The love for continuous existence of the self is always there. Which means, there's nobody ever likes to die. Now even a great devotee, suppose we always pray, hey Bhagavan, and kupko, when we are suffering, the old people always they pray like this. Now when suffering a lot, they say, enna kupko. Suppose Bhagavan comes and stands in front of them. Let me clear all your pains now. So come now, come let us go with, let come with me. And the person immediately will say, no, I don't want to come with you now. Therefore, what does it mean? Nobody really wants to die. Give lot of money, good health, young body and good mind, confusion free mind, lots of money, all the comforts he wants and no ailments, no diseases, nothing, no suffering. Come, you have lived 100 years, come with me. He will definitely refuse to go. What I'm saying, nobody will like to die. Even nobody likes to die. This is the fact. That is why Manabhuvam mean what? May I not become non-existent. Let there not be my non-existence. Bhuyasam, may I be always there. May there be my continuous existence. This love for the self is always experienced. This love for continuous existence of the self is always experienced by us. Therefore, he gives three reasons. Atma is Ananda Swarupaha. Atma Swarupa means happiness. Self, I am happiness because I am the one, the most loved. I love myself unconditionally. Why? Because I also see what? I experience this fact that I love my continuous existence of myself. Purida? So I want to live forever. That means I love myself unconditionally. I love myself unconditionally. Therefore, I must be of the source of happiness. Not a source of happiness. I am the only source of happiness, the greatest source of happiness. I am happiness myself. So he used the term Atma. Now the next verse, the next mantra, he continues. He makes it clear, the previous mantra. Tat premātmārtham anyatra. Naiva manyartham atmani. Atastat paramam tena. Paramananda tatmanaha. Now he says, Tat prema, that love one has in oneself, Atmani, you know, Yat prema, Tat prema, Anyartham, Atmartham. You know, Anyatra means directed towards the love in oneself, no? The love directed elsewhere. The love directed elsewhere means the love for anything in the world. He says what now? Atmartham is ultimately for one's own self. So love for anything in the world is ultimately what now? The love for oneself. That is why we have an Upanishad sentence. Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. Atmanastu kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati is the most famous quotation from the Upanishad. The love for anything in the world is love for oneself. So that she says here, tat prema atmartham, that love in oneself directed elsewhere, the love for anything in the world is what? Atmartham. Na evam anyartham. Definitely not for others. Never. In this manner, never is this love for others. Love for oneself is also for the sake of oneself. Love for others is also for the sake of one's own self. எல்லாம் உனக்குதான்ப்பா சுவாமிஜி, எல்லாம் சுத்தி நீ. தட் இஸ் வை சுவாமிஜி மேட் வெரி கிளியர், தெர் இஸ் நோ சச் திங் காட் அ செல்ஃப்லெஸ்னஸ் அட் ஆல். தெர் இஸ் ஓன்லி செல்ஃபிஷ்னஸ். ஓகே, தட் இஸ் வை வென் யூ டு நாட் ஹார்ம் அதர்ஸ், which means you are intelligently selfish. Now when you may harm others, you are foolishly selfish. When you live a life of dharma, you live a dharma also for what? Your own happiness. You try not to make others unhappy. You try not to transgress the values. You try not to, not to cheat others. You try not to tell lies, not because you want to make others happy, because you know even that by making others unhappy you will become unhappy. Therefore you don't want to become unhappy, therefore don't want to cause unhappiness for others. Therefore being cautious and being careful and prudent in not making others unhappy is also for preventing oneself from becoming unhappy. Therefore, when you are living a life of dharma, so you are happy, others also are happy. Therefore, you are intelligently selfish. When you really harm others' happiness for your happiness, you are foolishly selfish. Is it clear? Therefore, he says, Tat prema atmani, yat prema atmani, the kadasi one atmani eduthu potukku munnadi, yat prema atmani, tat prema atmartham, na evam anyartham. That love directed towards, that elsewhere, towards somebody else, is also for one's own self, not for the sake of others. Ataha means what? Therefore. Whenever therefore comes, what should you understand? There is something is arrived at finally. It's a conclusion, isn't it? Ataha, tat paramam tena paramanandatatmanaha. தத் பரமம் பிரேமா, அத்தகா தத் பரமம் பிரேமா, தத் பரம் ஷுட் கோ வித் தத் பிரேமா, யூ ஹாவ் டு சப்ளை. தேர்ஃபோர் தட் அப்சல்யூட் லவ், அன்கண்டிஷனல் லவ், ஈஸ் ஃபார் த செல்ஃப். அத்தகா தத் பரமம் பிரேமா, திஸ் அ ஃபுல் ஸ்டாப். யூ ஹாவ் டு ஆட் த வேர்ட் பிரேமா, தென் ஃபுல் ஸ்டாப். What does he say in this verse? If at all there is love, one finds love in oneself for others, that love one finds in oneself for others is also for the sake of one's own self, not for the sake of others. Therefore, tat paramam prema. Therefore, there is unconditional love for the self. Tena, because of that reason, tena karanena, supply, again, make it clear. Tena karanena, because there is unconditional love for the Atma, due to that reason, because of that reason, paramanandata atmanaha, atma enjoys the status of being the greatest source of, only source of happiness. Atmanaha paramanandata. See, paramanandata is noun. Paramanandaha is adjective, isn't it? Paramanandata means enjoying the status of being the happiness, enjoying the status of being the great source of happiness, enjoying the status of being the only source of the greatest source of happiness. Who enjoys the status? Atma. Therefore, Atmanaha positive form. Atmanaha paramanandata means what? Atmanaha paramanandata nishanna. Atma enjoys the status of being the greatest source of happiness. Atma enjoys the status of being the only source of happiness. How do you say, which means what? You had said Atma is the happiness. Atma is fullness. Because of that reason. What is the reason? Because the Atma is unconditionally loved. Love for the Atma is unconditional love. How do you say love for Atma unconditional love? Because he says, the previous sentence is what? The love directed elsewhere, anyatra yat prema, tat prema atmartham na anyartham. He clarified this. So I'm going to stop now. So I'll see you next class. அம்மா அது மீது பைத்தி முடிக்காம இருக்கும், எங்கேயும் மாட்டாம இருப்போம், அதான் தெரிஞ்சிட்டோம்னா. ஓம் பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்சதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஹரி ஓம் தத்சத். ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம்.